The Chomedy Podcast's third annual Halloween special. Welcome back, all you scare-a-medics and zombie MTs, nurse practitioners and shockers. It's the Halloween edition of the Traumedy Podcast. How the hell are you? Who the hell's that guy? Who the hell was that guy who spoke like that? Was it Bela Lugosi who did the voice? Talk about getting paid for a speech impediment. I can't stand it. I'm from Hungary.
Dude, just, you know, I mean, think about it. Talk about using your handicapped as a handicapable. This is my favorite episode to make, to put together for all of you. This is the third annual, and I hope you enjoy it. Really, your trick is my treat. I love getting hackles on your backles standing up. I love doing this and scaring myself at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking I hear somebody in the corner of my room. And who knows, maybe there is something stirring back there. It seems that the more I push myself, the more everything in the back, behind me, my brain, on my shoulders, on my neck, creeping up to the top of my head, something's going, don't do it. Are you sure you should be doing this? Well, you tell me. I hope you enjoy this season's Halloween special. All three of these were written and performed by yours truly. And they're all going out to you. Enjoy. I was just a probie when I was detailed to the crew of Ladder 32. The day the scorched world fell through and five, save one soul, died. I stood pounding on the station's rear with polished badge and starched station gear. Anticipation, electric fear, when the big bay doors swung wide. A grizzled, squinting figure said, "Come in then, it's warmer inside." Turns out the veteran with the squint was Captain David Flannery Quint. He pointed to the truck, then produced his flint and relit a half-smoked Charleston's pride. "Come on, the others are working on the ride." The other three salty men were Quigley, Marley, and Anderson. Bourbon cloud exhaust fumes billowed from them. It was clear, last night and all year they had imbibed. My fingers were broken instantly by a gnarly leather vice grips that served as hands for Marley, and Quigley's slap slammed me against the door, but I hardly felt my head hit its sanguine side. Then all at once the bell. We were in and off, with Anderson our guide. A billowing black smudge a mile away, beneath simmering pumpkin light in the pre-dawn day, and a deeper cherry shimmer in a nightmarish way, and my guts flushed cold and tied. Before I knew how to begin, they threw the ladder, and we were up and in. The world was hot darkness, air sulfuric and thin. I sipped furnace smoke, coughed, and cried. "Come on then, Proby, let's go deeper inside." To their shouts and slaps they drove me over a volley of faster proby. "It's not hot enough." And then they shoved me onto a catwalk of buckling ply. 'Twas then that the full horror caught my eye. I was perched like Dante above Inferno. Fire plumes encircled, but for exits there were no.
That molten shore of suffering only he or her know who were cast down on hellfire's tide. Then the floor gave way and we lost our feet. Three fell to the skillet of spalled concrete. Lava rain, volcanic sleet, gods and angels flew from our side. And Quint, whom I was holding then, with my boiling glove and roiling hand, looked up, then grinned, said, "I understand. It's warmer down inside." And to this he slipped, and he flied. There I watched, crying, crailing, one boot locked inside a railing, teeter-tottering above their flailing, their tortured screams skyward cried. Finally I contorted and found my feet, and as I beat heels in yellow retreat, I heard them gravely in unison repeat, "Though surely now they all had died, say, come on in, it's warmer inside." I clawed the darkness, found a door, a scribble scrabble on the solid floor, screaming, "Please God, please Hades, no more." I could not hold him, though hard I tried. I cried to heaven's saintly roe, in triumph, anger, pain, and woe. I screamed like Job, in my grief brought low, with ignorance, fear, and pride. To this a thunder, "Go then, it's warmer down inside." I moaned, "How could you slay them so, to burn with devils down below, where only souls of sinners go, to cook and howl and hide?" Then suddenly my world burst bright. I was bathed in a blue dazzle of blinding sunlight. Truck Company 6 was above on the roof alight. They threw a rope. It around me I tied. And just as I was hoisted out, before the cavern of brick mortar, wood grout, I heard again their hoarse unison shout, "Come in, it's warmer down inside." The surgeon spliced me with new skin and opportunity to begin again. But nothing can heal the weakling's sin. Did he slip, or had I lied? No salve, no balm, no lotus lotion, no medicated poppy potion can erase the cloying notion that I had not really tried. And in my dreams I heard their screams, "Come in, come in, it's warmer down inside." A 100 houses I've burned since then, and in each and every one of them I've heard their agonized screaming on the air suspend, then sizzle to extinguishment as fire died. In each conflagration I see opportunity, feel the pull of burning arms to restore unity, the purification and impunity wait beyond the white-hot tide. I see the devilish one-eyed squint and a bone-charred smile of a corpse named Quint, holding out his hand, giving me consent to charge unsaddled on my final ride. So take heed, Jakeys. They will always beckon you. That demon crew of 32, their chanting Salem song is true, and whispers lovingly like Lucifer's bride, "Come in, come in," they say with a grin, "it's warmer down inside."
The Ballad of the Coma by Kenneth Allen. I still know the way around my brain. I still know the way around my brain. The world outside thinks me dead, insane. I still know the way around my brain. Round and round and round it goes. The pink red light through closed windows. The clip-clopping heels at evening slows. The tick-tocking clock, the beds rows and rows. Round and round my mind it goes. I struggle and still my eyes stay shut. Some cold sweet serum pumped into my gut. Warming my sheets as it sprays in a glut. The infections and decubitus ulcers and cuts. The squeal of a wheelchair, some chuckling, crying nut. But I cannot move, and my eyes stay shut. There are no longer tears tickling your speech, but distant monotony, out to lunch, out of reach, an aseptic vernacular weakly washed with bleach. There is no one anymore inside your speech. I lie all day and night and find an atrophied life, a world gone blind. I lie and count, and cry, and rhyme. For I still know the way around my mind. I still know the way around my mind.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good. A Rio County Coroner's Report, number 13063409. This is Evan Kitchens, County Coroner, speaking on behalf of one Warnemount, Henry, male, 64 years old, unknown cause of death. The particulars of the case are as follows. Mr. Warnemount, while walking in the Rio Botanical Gardens, suddenly felt weak, per bystanders. He sat next to a woman, stating he felt as though he may pass out. The woman then called 911. When ambulance crew number 14 arrived on scene, they found the patient to be alert and oriented times 4 with a GCS of 15, with no reports of pain or discomfort whatsoever. Patient denied nausea, lightheadedness, dizziness, or anything of the sort. Stroke assessment found no negative neurologic deficits. BP was 130 over 72, pulse of 76, respirations 12, and a blood glucose of 106 milligrams per deciliter. The EKG found normal sinus rhythm with no ectopy. 12-lead likewise found normal sinus rhythm with no evidence of ST elevation or myocardial infarct. Paramedics were in the process of releasing Mr. Warnemount when he suddenly, quote, stood erect with his hands on his hips and exclaimed, Punky, how could you let Brandon eat my strawberry jello and Cool Whip? After which, patient suddenly collapsed onto the pea gravel path. The monitor showed asystole, and immediate resuscitative efforts were taken. Three rounds of IV epinephrine, continuous CPR, and intubation showed no change in patient's rhythm. In fact, there was absolutely no aberrant or agonal dysrhythmia of any kind to speak of. That is an odd fact, given it was a witnessed arrest. Seems Mr. Warnemount's heart had no intention of coming back, not even a little. I wish I could say this was the oddest case I've had all week, but this one's been a doozy in scientific parlance. I've got that other one over in cold storage in 5G that's got my head spinning since he came in. That homeless man that I haven't even been able to prep a shave, but he's got all the signs of a... Never mind, back to Mr. Warnemount. Admin has scheduled Warnemount as top priority. Seems he knew Langdon and Saferstein in another life back in college or something. And furthermore, he had been to Mercy not 2 weeks ago for similar signs and symptoms and was released with a perfect bill of health. So there's more than one reason why Warnemount makes the cut tonight. Now then, examining the body from a superficial aspect, the patient appears to be a white male, aged approximately late 60s, with fair complexion, blue eyes, white hair, weighing approximately 172 pounds. He is laying in anatomical position now, and I will begin with the vertical incision at the sternal notch down to the inguinal area. Here we go. And making my incision now. Here we go. Yes. All right. And done. I will now make a cut to the left and right clavicle to expose the thoracic cavity. And there we go. Oop, missed. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And then here. And now cutting along the lower rib line, both right and left, to expose the lower portion of the thoracic cavity. Cut. And voila. And now exposing the chest. Yes, we see that there are several ribs broken, it looks like. Costal, both right and left, 4, 5, and 6. Were broken, presumably during CPR efforts. Very good. I will now begin exposing the inner thoracic organs and vessels. Let me get out that tool and set this down. All right. I will now begin. And here we go. Yep. Measure twice, cut once. Good. And now I am placing the retractors in. Yes. Yes. Yes, exposing here. I do see some minor damage to the lungs. It looks like this patient, Mr. Warnemount, was a pretty average smoker. I do see some tarring into the lungs. The heart does appear to be slightly hypertrophied. No other signs of trauma or abnormalities present. Let me just look. Both aorta and vena cava are intact, with no aneurysms clear. Good.
I'm moving down now to the abdomen to check for any signs of damage, trauma, etc. Yes. Well, this is curious. One of the odd facts that I noticed looking at Mr. Wanamount previously was that there were no signs of lividity of any sort. And now, looking inside his chest and abdomen, I have found no blood. It seems he is completely exsanguinated somewhere. Could this be something more? Oh, no, here's all the blood. Okay, nope, there's all the blood. All right then, good. All right, so no, it had just got caught right there. Good, okay. Well, then never mind. Okay, so let's take a little look over here. Okay. Just a moment. I'm in autopsy. And now moving down to the groin. Just a moment, please. I'm in autopsy. Noting here, moving into the pelvic region, I will now begin to dissect the...
Oh, sweet Samuel, you're pulling my leghorn Clemens. What could it be? Now, see here, if you... Hello? Hello? Most peculiar. There's no one there. Nevertheless, back to the autopsy. I will start again by doing a vertical incision from the midline down the... Oh, there it is again. I shall get to the bottom of this. Now, see here, good man. Hello. Again, no one is there. And yet that sound. But who could it be? In fact, who's still at Mercy Hospital this time of night on All Hallows' Eve? Well, I was the only one working late on this autopsy last I heard, and it's just me here in the morgue with them. Oh, dear God. It's not coming from the door. Oh, sweet Lord, no. But it can't be. Oh, sweet God, no! It's coming from the locker, from cold storage. It's coming from 5G! No! It can't be! No! It can't be! I was right. When they brought him in here, I thought he had all the signs and symptoms, all the telltale markings, but I couldn't. He couldn't have. They wouldn't have. There's no such thing! But the tapping! Oh, saints in heaven, the tapping! Oh, God, it's opening! It's opening! The locker! It's sliding open! What is that thing? It can't be! It is him! He is here! Oh, God, the hair! It's true! It really does grow after you die! Oh, God! No! Stop, Spectre! No! The words. I must resist.
Shave the haircut.
I can't.
Shave the haircut.
I shan't. I must not do it. I must not do it. I must do
bitch. And bitch. And bitch. And bitch. And bitch.
No.
And bitch. And bitch. And bitch.
I'm glad you got through it all in one piece. Thanks for listening. Please tell everybody about it. We love doing it over here at Traumedy, and I love it that you're listening. Get out there and remember, it's Halloween. Enjoy yourselves. Candy is okay. Fun size ain't fun. Get the full size for the kids. And above all, if you got it, then use it. Happy Halloween!
The audio plays you've heard this evening were brought to you by Unitet Studios Limited. Happy Halloween. Thank you. And if you've got it, ladies and gentlemen, use it. Good night.